Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You like what you feel in this place tonight? Amen, amen, amen. Appreciate the Lord. Appreciate His presence in this place. Thank you for worshiping and praising the Lord. I was looking forward to a very special treat, but he decided to kind of pass on it. So we want to go ahead and let our visitors relax while they're away from home. Maybe they don't get too much rest and relaxation, but we were going to ask Darren, well, we did ask Darren to sing tonight and to play, but he just asked if we would forgive him if he didn't. So aren't we thankful that Darren and Mary McLeod are here with us? We thank you so much. I know your family is glad to see you at home and visit with you. Amen. Without any further ado, let us go to the word of the Lord. Could we stand all over this sanctuary tonight? And let us turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20. When you're there, just go ahead and say amen. If you do not have Bibles, you can look on the screen there and see it. But hopefully we will bring our Bibles every chance we get. Hopefully we won't leave them at church so that they'll be here when you get here. And hopefully you'll take your Bible with you. I wonder how many soldiers in wartime just left their sword on the battlefield. I just have a good feeling they brought it with them wherever they went. Amen. So let us keep up with our Bibles and bring them to church and have them when we are here assembled together. Thank you so much. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. And also we'll look at Mark chapter 6, verse 54. We'll read several verses at each location. Beginning at Matthew 9 and verse 20, we'll read to verse 24. Matthew 9, verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw, excuse me, we skipped there just a few verses, but let's go to Mark 6 and 9, and I'll clear it up in just a little bit. In Mark 6 and verse 54. And when they were come out of the ship straightway, they knew him and ran through that whole region around about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick were where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Now, we're going to deal with several aspects of this reading tonight, and some that I didn't cover. But we must open our hearts and our minds right now, because I feel like the Holy Ghost wants to accomplish something with a very common passage of Scripture. I think, and I feel, I know in my spirit that he wants to accomplish something that is not common any longer among us. I believe that he wants to perform the supernatural tonight in our heart, soul, and mind. So as you lay your Bible beside you and remain standing, would you lift your hands and lift your voices and call upon the name of the Lord in this place? All over this place, would you prepare your heart? Would you give place for a miracle in your heart right now? Would you make room for the supernatural right now? Oh, hallelujah. By the divine authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we loose the power of God to prevail in every heart, every mind, and every life in this building. In Jesus' name, bring forth your power. Bring forth your demonstration. Change hearts. Change lives. Set the captive free, O God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could you turn to somebody before we go any further and say, let's have church? Turn to somebody else and say, let's have church. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you tonight on a simple subject entitled, Give Place for the Miracle. Give place for the miracle. You could say it another way, make room for the miracle. What we see here in our text verse tonight was and still is a common occurrence for Jesus. In our text, we see Jesus in the midst of one miracle while on his way to another miracle. And then in the other text, we can see quite clearly that it was common. Everywhere he went, people was laying beds out with those sick in the bed, and God was healing them as he went by. It is or was a common occurrence for Jesus to go from one miracle to another miracle. Would you say that out loud with me? God wants to go from one miracle to another miracle. It must be a common occurrence. He desires to go from miracle to miracle, from grace to grace, from glory to glory, from power to power, from supernatural to supernatural. Oh, can somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice tonight praise the name of the Lord? Can you lift him up right now before we go any further? In our text, we see the miraculous at work. It is alive, it is well, it is thriving. We can see that it is common around the presence of the Lord. It was common for Jesus to go from one miracle to the next. It is just what he does. It is what he is desiring to do. It is what he longs to do in the lives of his people. It is the kind of thing he shows up to do. He shows up to do what man cannot do. He shows up to do what doubt never would dream of. He shows up to do what unbelief would never accept the challenge to do. But it is common for Jesus to walk in and say, thy sins be forgiven. It is common for Jesus to show up and say, stretch out that arm. It is common for Jesus to show up and to say, open your eyes. And it is common for Jesus to say, cancer, be gone. It is common for Jesus to just speak in a couple words, and what happens is something that man could never do in a lifetime. Oh, could somebody bless the name of the Lord tonight? In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. I wonder tonight if there's anybody in this building. I wonder tonight, somewhere under the sound of my voice, is there anyone who has expectations in your heart? Expectations of a change, an expectation of a supernatural encounter, expectations of breaking out of the mold of the ho-hum and of religion as usual. Is there anybody in this place that desires to experience something beyond your imagination? I wonder what somebody is saying within themselves right now. Let me stretch out. Let me get comfortable like usual and allow me to sort of just break in and out of consciousness as the message goes by. Let me find my comfort zone. Let me just kind of find a place to get comfortable. Punch the clock. go through a religious routine. Let me do my thing, but don't change me. I wonder if that is what our posture says to the Lord tonight. I just have a feeling that once she purposed in her heart that she was going to get a miracle that night, she was going to have a miracle that day. I just believe that when she purposed in her heart, when she said within herself that today is the day, now is the time. I just have a feeling that when she said that within herself, that something about her posture began to respond to her expectation. She probably didn't just sit there with her fingers twiddling or her arms crossed and said, I'm going to get something different today. She probably didn't just sit there in this kind of a mode and say, it's going to be all different now. She probably came to the realization and said, you know, if I'm going to get something different than I got the last 12 years, I'm going to have to do something different. I'm going to have to put my faith in a different object. I'm going to have to bring my posture to a little bit different statement. I wonder what our posture is telling Jesus tonight. I'm full up. I've got all I want. Don't come bothering me. Don't change me. Or is our posture, is our hunger saying, here I am. I can't be bypassed. I don't want you to go without touching me first. Lord, before this service is over, I've got to have my miracle. I've got to make contact with the supernatural. I must have a miracle. I just have a feeling when she's purposed in her heart that she's going to touch that garment, something began to change. She began to make a motion in the right direction. Tonight, if you want to touch the hem of that garment and you want to make a connection with the supernatural, you're going to have to begin to start in motion in the right direction. Tonight, I would like to ask this great assembly exactly, what is it that you are telling yourself about the outcome of this service tonight? This lady was sick for 12 years. She had an unclean situation working in her body. She was shut out of society. She was neglected. She was viewed as unfit because of a situation that she had no control over. Circumstances happen. Situations happen. Things go on out of our control. Sometimes these affect us in many different ways. And this lady was in one of those circumstances. She had no control of her situation. Something had come up on her that caused her to not be able to go into the temple, to not go into the public and touch people, because of the law would have them rendered unclean as well. And so it goes on and on, and it didn't just happen for a day or a week or a month or a year, but 12 long years went by in this kind of situation. And not only just the isolation, but she had a financial problem that was on the horizon. And finally, at the end of it all, of 12 years, she was broke, and she had spent everything she had, and she was none the better. She was shut out of society, and now she's poverty stricken, and she's destitute, and there is no place to go. Finally, with her back against the wall, she gets up enough courage and she gets up enough desperation, and she says, today is the day I shall touch him. Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, I pray that we won't let it come to that point. I pray that we won't let it get to that place. I pray that we'll go ahead and have a capacity for Jesus Christ and the supernatural before our backs against the wall. And before we have no other answers, I come to you right now and say, before we get to that destitute situation, let's go ahead and tell the world and ourselves that Jesus is the only answer. He is the only way for the world today. This disease was by the Jews reckoned unclean. Leviticus 15 and 25, you can find it there. This woman was therefore unwilling to make personal solicitations. But finally, through desperation, it drove her into the society. And it drove her beyond all of these rules and things that had held her captive in her condition. And she pushed beyond society, went beyond all the voices that were in her mind and her soul, and how people would respond and how the religious groups would handle her and treat her. But it come to the place where she had to get all the voices out of her head. Now, by the time all of this has come to place, after all the years she tried it man's way, and it kept getting worse. Her condition kept on deteriorating to the point it pushed her out of her little circle. It pushed her out of her cave, if you will. It pushed her into the place where man can't help me. My money can't help me. My society can't help me. I cannot find help in the abilities of humanity. I've got to go beyond what man can do. I've got to go beyond what money can do. I've got to go beyond what society can do. I've got to go ahead and trust God for the supernatural encounter. I want to pause there tonight. I don't have any intention in going long, but I want to pause there tonight and remind this church, when we were lost in sin, when we knew that we knew that we knew that we were lost and without God, when we knew that if we'd have died right there, we would have burned in a lake of fire. We would have tumbled and tossed for eternity long, burning in flames, never finding the bottom of the bottomless pit. But for an eternity that we would have tossed and we would have turned and we would have burned for the ever and ever and ever and ever. When that became reality, we were driven to the place where we would go beyond what anybody thought, what we thought anybody would say. We went beyond how it would look. We went beyond anything man had to do. And we found ourselves an altar with a broken heart, with tears flowing, with a passion for a miracle to happen in our lives. We repented of our sin. We went down in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And God was faithful to forgive us and to fill us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody in this place that knows what I'm talking about? Is there any spirit field, one God, Jesus' name, apostolic people in this place tonight? If there is, I would like to hear your voice. I would like to hear your hands clapping. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. Between her and Jesus. And he's leaving. Worn out body, fatigued, anemic, no strength, no energy, tired, osteoporosis after 12 years with her disease, more than likely had taken her body. She stooped over, very frail, weak in her bones, and Jesus is walking away. Mount Pisgah, I know you've heard this message over and over, and I kind of wrestled with God about preaching it because I don't want you to be bored. But the Lord wants to drop something using this very common message. He wants to drop something in your heart, in your mind tonight. Jesus isn't parked somewhere and collecting dust. We're serving a God that's on the move. He isn't parked up doing some kind of Mount Rushmore impersonation. But he is on the move. He is going to where hungry hearts are. He's going to where somebody is making room for a miracle. He's going somewhere where the Lord, where people are praying and seeking, and where the Lord can do a miraculous work, where he can convert people, and where the glory of God can arise among us. He's passing through Mount Pisgah tonight. He's not putting it in park and hanging out. He's going to somebody where they need him, where they're hungry for him, where they're coming to him and say, Jesus, would you please come with me? He's on the move. He's just passing through. He's going to Jairus' house. He's going to the place where somebody says, if you'll just get here, Lord, we'll have a miracle. If you'll just show up, things will change. He's going to that place. He's going to somebody's church that says, if you come here, we're going to have revival. We don't have a handle on him. We don't have him tied up. We don't have him chained down. Jesus is passing through. And it was kind of a low-key, mediocre service there. And Jairus had traveled a while, and he comes up to Jesus and says, you know, we've got to have you where we are. We can't wait. Hunger, desperation, desire, a need. Jesus folded up his little tent revival, and he began to go to Jairus' house. There was somebody in the congregation in the process. Hear me good. There was somebody in the process of throwing all their religion away, tradition away, and all of their social ideas and ideologies and all of their things. They were just in the motion of it, in the throes of it. And she finally come to that place. But Jesus didn't stop walking. Saints of God, sometimes I think we run the risk of waiting too long. We're not quick enough to respond. And we let the moment pass. We let the move of God go. But this woman with the issue of blood, feeble in her body, all bent over, decrepit, pain, aches, weak. Even with Jesus easing out, she had done made up her mind. If she's got to pursue him and catch up with him, even in her condition, somehow, some way, she's going to pursue him and overtake him. Somebody tonight needs to make up your mind that Jesus might not be perfectly positioned where you want him to be, but you need to go ahead and put in your spirit that if I have to pursue him, if I have to overtake him, if I have to run to the altar, if I have to run across the sanctuary, if I have to go on my knees, I'm going to overtake him. I'm going to reach him where he is. Oh, could somebody bless the name of Jesus? And she pushed through the crowd, and she made herself across the field and away, and finally she touched the hem of that garment, and virtue flowed and began to fill her body with the supernatural power, and the miraculous took place. As Jesus was leaving the scene, she took advantage of the opportunity anyway. She went after him. Everybody say she went after him. But tonight I wonder what would happen if you would just decide to try the supernatural and pursue him with everything you got. Jesus was teaching. The Bible doesn't record the great things was happening in that service that day. But that did not deter deter Jairus. Jairus invited Jesus to his house anyway. On a low-key service, we need to go ahead and expect the miraculous anyway. Jairus invites him to the house. His daughter was near death. She's watching him on the go. And now her situation is not left to where she can sit down any longer. Her posture has got to change. And now it's taken to another level. The speed she thought she would travel, the way she thought she would press through the crowd, is taken to a whole nother challenge. She's got to go with all of her might. She's got to go as fast as she can, or she's going to miss her moment. Before I go any further, I want to express to this congregation, we can't do it in our own time, but we've got to do it in God's time. We can't make up our mind how we're going to work it out and get our miracle, but we got to get up to speed with Jesus so that he can fix it or figure it out how you're going to get your miracle in the time frame that he wants you to have it. We need to go ahead and take our speed and our aggressiveness to another level. We need to go ahead and say, I've been doing it this way for long enough, but I need to go ahead and take my posture, my aggression, my Holy Ghost passion to a whole nother level. I've got to take my anointing and my desire and my willingness to have a miracle, and I got to put it in overdrive. Oh, I wish somebody could get the understanding. If we're going to have it, we got to go after it with all of our might. If we're going to get it, we got to get it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we're going to see it, we got to be desiring to see it with everything we got. Now, Jairus and Jesus is walking away. The little lady is going after him. And finally, she touches him. Virtue flowed. It stopped Jesus. This was the fringe in their kind of garments that they wore. It was a garment that the Hebrews or the Jews wore that let the rest of the nations know who they were. We get confused, Pentecostals. It's quiet in here. It started from the beginning, God dressing his people to identify the nation of God. And the church is the nation of God. And we need to love the identification that lets the world know that we've been born again. We've been spirit-filled and blood-bought. And Jesus was wearing this garment, and she touches the fringes, the tassels that's hanging down. And the power of God flowed through him, through that garment, and into her body. We must realize, even though Jesus was on his way, Jairus had dialed 911 and Jesus was heading that way. But when she touched him, he stopped. When she touched him, he stopped. Maybe I need to spend some time right here. The gap kept opening. The distance kept growing. The presence of the Lord was leaving. But she pursued him, overtook him, grasped him, and he stopped. Somebody tonight in your situation, in your circumstances, as I'm getting close to ending this service tonight, Somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice needs to get hungry enough and desperate enough to move beyond the routines and the norms of life and overtake him and move into that place where I'm going to make the first move. I'm not going to make him have to come to my chair. I'm not going to have to make him stand there and wait, but I'm coming after him and I'm going to overtake him. I'm going to pursue him. I'm going to catch him. I'm going to grasp him. I'm going to hold on to him, and I'm going to have a miracle. If that lady in that crippled condition, if that lady in that broken condition, if that lady in that weak condition, if that lady in that poverty-stricken condition can touch the hem of his garment, I know people that have been blessed and that are people in this building that could easily come out of your hole, come out of your routine, come out of your comfort zone, come out of your restriction, come out of your hopelessness and come and apprehend the power of the Lord. When she touched the hem of that garment, he stopped. In Mark 5:34, and he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any longer?" I'm hurrying to a close here. We might could identify with Jairus, every one of us. While he was trying to get things to turn around at his house, Jesus was taking the time to talk with this lady. While Jairus' daughter was breathing her last few breaths, while time was quickly winding down, Jesus was willing to stop and talk to somebody that was willing to have a miracle. If you're wondering what's going to get you time with Jesus, a heart that's willing to have a miracle is going to stop him in his tracks. A heart that is desiring the supernatural encounter is going to stop him in his tracks. He may be going down the road to heal some cancer patient that's got 25 minutes, but if somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice raises up and says, "I've got to have my miracle right now," Jesus is going to stop. He's going to stand still. He's going to talk to you right now. While he was sitting there chatting with this lady, a messenger comes and says, "Don't bother him any longer. Don't worry about it any longer. The baby, the daughter is dead." Jesus is multitasking. Anybody believe he can multitask? We might could identify with him. We can hear the heart breaking right now. We could probably begin to figure out how he might would want to blame Jesus. While Jairus' situation was deteriorating by the second, Jesus was stopping to chat with this lady who had a passion and a openness and availability for him to perform a miracle. Perhaps all that was left to Jairus' faith was just a little thread of hope left. And now what he had feared the most had finally come. The words that he knew that would be too much for him to bear has finally entered into his ears and has broken his heart. "Thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth the master any longer?" But Jesus had something to say about that message. Jesus had something to reply about that situation. In verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word, he's dealing with this lady that just had the miracle. His eyes is upon her. He's blessing her. And he's telling her that to be made whole of the plague. And he's also hearing the words of the messenger. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. I'm trying my best to convey the message tonight. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. It doesn't matter how it feels. It just doesn't matter what hell is doing at your home or in your heart. It's not time to backslide. It's not time to cave in. It's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to walk away. It's not time to let it blow your heart up. It's not time to die. It's time to stand up and believe. Come on, Mount Pisgah in 2015. It's not time to give up now. It's not time to curl up and die now. But it's time to believe. Notice the words that Jesus says. When he heard this, he says, only believe. Like it's that easy. Like it's a trivial thing. Everything when it comes to having a miracle depends on faith. But he talks to Jairus like having enough faith to raise the dead is a simple thing. Do I need to say that again? Everything that's going to raise that girl out of that bed and heal her body hinges on faith. And Jesus turns to Jairus and says, only believe. Turn to your neighbor and say, only believe. In other words, throw out the doubt, throw out the unbelief. Quit occupying all those spirits. Get rid of all that stuff. And the only thing you leave in there is faith. Are we okay? Open your little treasure chest up wherever you think your soul is. Reach in there and pull out doubt. Pull out unbelief. Pull out all the doubt and the negative stuff and all the society's words and what the doctor said and everybody else. You reach in there and pull all that out right now. And the only thing you leave in there is faith in Jesus. Jairus, you don't need the broken heart. You don't need all the doubt. You don't need all the fear. You don't need to be rehearsing those words over and over and over and over and over and over. Jairus, you get rid of all that. Come on, I'm going over and over time because the church seems to need it right now. But somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice needs to go ahead and open their heart up and just start bailing some junk out of there. And all the waters of life and the troubles of flesh and all the junk, you start bailing that out of there, clean it out of there, and make room and give a capacity, a space for the miraculous. Jairus, the only thing you need in that heart of yours is faith. We okay? Somebody needs to put your hand on your back wherever it hurts. Somebody needs to put your hand on your knees wherever it hurts. Put your hand on your stomach, wherever a situation may be. Put your hand on wherever the problem you feel like it is. It may be in your pocketbook. It may be with, well, just reach across and touch your spouse, whatever the situation is. And you need to say, well, let's throw out all the junk right now. Let's get rid of everything that Jesus doesn't want in this situation. And let's keep the faith. Let's hold on to the faith. Let's quit hearing the messenger's voice. The daughter's dead. It's over. It's finished. Quit praying. Quit trusting Jesus. Quit troubling him about it. Let's throw all that away right now. Let's get all of that out of our heart. And let's get a hold to only believe. Now they are walking. Can you imagine how the conversation might have went now? And Jesus, Jairus might would kind of open his mouth and start in a negative path passage, and Jesus would say, "Only believe, Jairus." Jairus would probably get overwhelmed with fear at times, and he would just have an outburst, and Jesus would say, "Only believe, Jairus." You may get overwhelmed at times looking at what's wrong and you're unable to focus on what's right. And I want to say, only believe, Jairus. You might want to repeat the words of the doctor and repeat the words of your own fears and repeat all this stuff over and over. But I'm saying, only believe, Jairus. Why don't somebody reach up and get a hold of their belief? Get a hold of their faith. Pull their faith down. We're fixing to have an altar call, but I've got to get you ready, and you got to help me prepare us. We got to have a place. We got to have an open spot for this miracle to go. If the spot where it needs to go is full of doubt, full of despair, and full of unbelief, and full of hopelessness, there will be no place for the miracle. But if somebody will go ahead and put a X and say, "Jesus, X marks the spot. I've scrubbed this spot. I've rubbed it. I've brushed it. I've cleaned it. I've got all the doubt out of there, all the despair off of there, all the unbelief off of there, and I put a big red X right there. That's where I need my miracle. I've got all my belief stacked up right there." Only believe, Jairus. Now, they're getting closer and closer and closer. Finally, in Mark 9, verse 23, "And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels," that's the people who gather to do all the moaning and the groaning and the crying and the playing the negative, sad music. They literally hired those people in the Bible days to come and do that. And now, Jesus walks to the house. He steps in and he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. And he said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." In verse 24, "And he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn." What are we going to do about the words of Jesus tonight? Are we going to let the words just be entertainment and go home the same way we came? Are we going to let them be words of life and words of change and words of supernatural encounterments upon us? They laughed him to scorn. On the day of Pentecost, they gathered. They looked up there, and the people were making, they were speaking in other tongues, and the people down on the street began to mock, and they began to make fun. Sometimes the situations that will surround your problem and your situation, they are so carnal. They are so ungodly. They are just kind of religious, but they have no supernatural, they have no supernatural qualities that's ever going to bring a miracle like you need. Maybe you've collected in your little circle of friends to come and pour mouth with you and talk about how bad it is with you and how negative it is with you, and just kind of entertain you and keep heaping more and more darkness upon a dark situation. Maybe you've collected friends like Job had. But right here, right now, in the middle of the situation, you're going to have to let Jesus come up on your porch. And you're going to have to let Jesus cast off all the minstrels and all the little noises that says that I'll never be healed and I'll never have my miracle. And now I'll never be changed and I'll never see what God will do in my life. I'll never have this and never have that and it'll never come to pass and all these nevers. You got to let Jesus come up on the porch of your house right now and let him cast off these naysayers and these noisemakers and all of these doubters and unbelievers. You got to let him come up inside of your heart and say, we don't need that to have a miracle. We don't need that to have a miracle. We don't need this to have a miracle. Your problem isn't as bad as you think it is. Your problem is only asleep. I'm here to wake it up. I'm here to wake up your miracle. I'm here to shake your soul and revive what I have desired to do for you. Oh, somebody somewhere tonight, I wish you would let Jesus step in right now into this building, into your heart, and cast off the words of doubt. Cast off the words of unbelief. Cast off the words that says it'll never happen. And let the miracle come into your situation. I wish somebody would present your little situation to Jesus right now. I want to tell somebody that Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church is not dead. It may be asleep in a few areas. But when we can wake up the right people that will put their hands on those departments that we need, those departments are going to wake up and they're going to thrive. And we're going to see the revival that we have heard prophesied over and over and over and over. But that principle is true for you. Right now, somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice, if you need the Holy Ghost, if you need a drug addiction cast out, if you need a miracle, if you need a life change, if you need something to happen for you tonight, you've got to be willing to come out of your chair and make your way to this altar and hand your dead situation that seems dead. You've got to reach up and say, here it is, God. I need you to wake it up. I need you to shake it. I need you to speak to it. Somebody somewhere, there's a few of you coming already, but we need some people to step out and say, I need a change. I live through the same cycles every day, but tonight is the night I've come for a miracle. The altar's open. I wonder if we would step out. Somebody needs to go ahead and make room. Make room. The Bible said, give place. Cast all the junk out and give place for what you need God to do. Time is running out. Time is short. We're not promised tomorrow. Let Jesus cast out the mourning. Let Jesus cast out the negative noises. Let Jesus wake up that miracle that is within you. Chase away all the noise. We will just let Jesus cast off everything within us that says, you'll never have it. You'll never see it. Rebuke those voices now. Rebuke that noise now. Let your passion arise. Let your desperation come to the surface. Let your comfort zones turn into passions of fire and hunger for Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.